In an open pasture just south of Salina, Kansas, about three dozen people are out before dawn for a walk.
Well, we're from Seattle, and we're here because we're, you know, very inspired by the work that the Land Institute does. And I've never been to Kansas before, and it's much more beautiful than a lot of America thinks it is.
Amy Souza, like everybody else here, is here for the Land Institute's annual Prairie Festival. Jeffrey Funk drove straight from the Montana Rockies.
Land Institute is just a bit of a mecca for progressive ecological thinking.
We're all following David Van Task, plant scientist with a microphone.
Oh. When you look around, what do you see? What is it? How's it different than where we've been?
Van Tassel points out a boundary where an old farm field long ago seeded with native prairie plants meets virgin prairie. Grass and flowers reach about chest high on both sides, but the old growth prairie is clearly more dense and diverse. John Piper, a biology professor at Bethel College, says the real story is underground.
Even though that has been planted back to native vegetation some decades ago, it still looks very, very different because the soil has been changed. For we may not know how long it takes for that soil to ever come back to its original form. Maybe it never will.
Traditional farming breaks up the soil, causes runoff, and depletes nutrients. For major crops, most farmers now practice what's called no-till farming. It saves them turning the soil every year, but requires lots of chemicals. So, can we find a new way of farming, one that mirrors natural, sustainable ecosystems and is still profitable for farmers? 40 years ago, the Land Institute set out to find an answer. Piper says researchers are trying to cultivate an agricultural system that works more like the prairie.
Oh.
It's right about here that David Van Tassel points out something called Canada wild rye.
It's a native perennial plant that we're looking at as a possible candidate for domestication.
The Land Institute has developed a perennial grain crop called Kernza. Scientists there are working on perennial sorghum, rice, and oilseed, too. What it doesn't have, after 40 years, is any kind of perennial crop that a farmer can make a living growing. Still, many, like Teresa Jones, a biologist from Massachusetts, say it seems like this institute is about to take off.
I mean, the Land Institute was swimming upstream for a long time. But now I think it's right in the stream, and I think it's going to enable it to move forward with some of this both ecological and cultural transformation much more quickly, which makes me very optimistic.
We're in pretty good shape.
Wes Jackson is the original idea man at the Land Institute, and he ran it from its inception 40 years ago until the 1st of October. He says perennial agriculture seemed crazy to most people at first, but now it's gone global.
We're on 5 continents now, all the way from Sweden to Uganda, Australia to Canada, India.
It's the organization kind of graduating into full-fledged movement status. It's no longer just a lone voice in the wilderness, you know, no longer one man's big vision.
That's the new guy speaking.
Fred Utsi. I'm, according to my name tag, the incoming president of the Land Institute.
Utsi says the solid funding that Jackson has secured over the years is allowing the Land Institute to do fine-grain genetic research and crunch enormous amounts of data, which will accelerate new plant development. As the 1,000 or so people spilling out of a barn at this year's Prairie Festival heard over and over again, none of this is going to happen overnight. But after all, Wes Jackson says if you're working on something you can finish in your lifetime, you're not thinking big enough. Frank Morris, Harvest Public Media.